B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. As we get through this week, Thursday, we've been hanging in there so far. So everybody that's hanging in there with us, keep plugging. And this is going to be over. Just have faith that will be over, and then sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation. No matter where it goes today, we're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. We actually have some sports stuff to talk about here. As the Eagles, as disappointed as we were yesterday with the Philadelphia Eagles and what they were doing in free agency, they come up with a big trade here, and they grab Darius Slay, cornerback. Now, they had passed on Jones, and they wound up paying Slay, looks like, a little more up front. So, listen, here's the thing. There aren't a lot of people that cover the Eagles that really like this. And we'll go over some of the comments from some people that work for The Athletic. Here's what I'll say. They wanted this guy. And if, you know, an organization wants a guy, and they press on to get him. And if he was their top priority, that's fine. They tried to get him last year in a trade. The price was too high. So they sit back here. The only thing is, I just wonder if it's a consolation prize, because they did want Jones also. And here they turn around and they make sure they get Slay. But I, you know, at this point, I don't care what the longer term ramifications are. A lot of people are scared because he's 29. And there are a lot of 29-year-old cornerbacks that seem to be declining at this kind of an age. So the Eagles might not have him at that full maximum efficiency for very long. But as long as they wanted this guy, as long as they needed this guy, I don't seem to have a problem with it. So so here we go. They made a move for a defensive tackle, which strengthened them. They made a move for a cornerback, which strengthens them. I don't think anybody who follows the Eagles can say they're weaker than they were before this free agency season. So they at least got a player that they like, a player who is a press corner covered guy, and maybe one who Jim Schwartz will like a little better than what he's had to work with. And it's just a wait and see attitude. So I have to give the Eagles credit. They had this basically under their hat. Like all these cornerbacks are getting signed. Drew Font goes, Chris Harris goes, and we're panicking. We're sitting here panicking. They didn't sign Jones. And if this was the move they wanted all along, then I applaud them. I can't get mad at an organization that targets a guy for whatever reason and thinks he's the best fit for the organization until it turns out that he's not.
I agree with you. That I completely agree. And the other part is the numbers look like they gave him a lot of money, but the guarantee is everything in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Giving a guy 2 years, $30 million, as far as the guarantee goes, that's not going to kill you if it doesn't work out long term. While the Jones deal had more guaranteed money, but for his ego, he's not a highest paid corner on paper. So he's happy. The Eagles are happy. And when was the last time they had a corner who said, I'm going to cover this man everywhere he goes on every down, and then everybody else do everything, can go do other stuff? He's the first one since, I mean, because Samuel wasn't that guy. I mean, this mm-hmm. is going back to what, Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent? Is that the last time?
Yeah, probably.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's an upgrade. And I can't be upset with an upgrade. Now, here's the downside. I gave you the good side of it. Here's the downside of it. The Eagles are paying Slay more than the Dolphins paid Byron Jones. And so there's that. And there's also a lot of people that cover this team are saying they're confused by what they're actually doing, what their plan is, because Roseman has preached that he needs to get younger. And they got a 29-year-old quarterback who is the highest paid corner in the NFL for his age, 30, 31, and 32 seasons. And here's the downside. Slay is a good player now. He started to decline maybe a little bit last year, or maybe you could look at it, he played with a bad team. But the pundits are saying that it's highly unlikely the Eagles are getting the best phase of his career. Cornerbacks, you look at them, when they read Slay's age, two examples. Xavier Rhodes and A.J. Boye, all pros in 2017, and now they're nowhere. Both of those guys. Rhodes was released in the offseason. Boye was traded for a fourth-round pick. Are we off camera?
No.
Huh? We do have another problem.
You're right. We're a little up to your right.
I have to go this way?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were supposed to move the camera so you
He's working on it.
Rodney's in here moving the camera. So we're good now? Oh, we are? Oh, okay. You got the TV on in front of us. Oh, I see.
Yeah, there we go. Trying to get it lined up.
Yeah, see, I never know where to line up anymore.
It's not you. Here. What happens is the morning show uses it for Twitch, and they move the cameras.
Okay.
And that's why this happens.
Okay.
But yeah, you don't have to move because the camera's moving.
All right, so I'm
you stay wherever you
are. Rodney's centering me right here where I am in my
right wherever you're comfortable. Then they'll move the camera to you, and then you're good.
Yes. Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Good job, Rodney.
There you go.
Smooth as silk. The last 2 days starting the show.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Yeah,
the problem is we can't do it ahead of time because we can't see it ahead of time.
Yes, so we have to be on the air to center the camera.
Right.
Yeah, I totally get it. All right, so we're going to talk about that, obviously, today and what the Eagles are doing. And the other thing is that Malcolm Jenkins signs for a pittance with the New Orleans Saints. So you could come to the conclusion that it wasn't money. Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. Well, he wanted that double-digit money. The Eagles weren't willing to go there. He did not, apparently, because he signed for what the Eagles... What, he signed for exactly what the Eagles were going to pay him? In that last year, the contract?
Slightly.
More?
$250,000 more. He went from 7.75, but no guarantee, to 8 per, but he gets some guarantee money. Something the Eagles easily could have done if they wanted him.
And so apparently they didn't want him.
Nope.
Now, I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what the problem was with Malcolm Jenkins. By all accounts, he was an outstanding team guy. But apparently, either the coaching staff or the front office didn't think so. So I don't know. I guess this will come out in dribs and drabs over the next several months as to what went wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles' relationship with Malcolm Jenkins. What do you think it is, Tyrone?
I believe Jenkins, at this point, played every down, very durable, a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
But... a lot of times he played in the box, and Malcolm was going to do what Malcolm thought was best because he was a veteran. He had that kind of respect. And then other players had to work around Malcolm, Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody might say, hey, that's fine. I'm saying from the Eagles' perspective, they might have said, you know what? We're going to get a corner who they still believe can play, in their opinion. And this guy will actually create more freedom for our defense because he's going to play man-to-man, and that allows the other 10 guys to do other stuff while they might have thought, and you can do two high safety stuff, which they really weren't able to do as much because Malcolm became pretty much a box player. I think Schwartz decided, going forward, I need to change up that position. And I think Schwartz had a lot to do with this. Now, and Schwartz was like, I can't do what I want to do defensively with this guy because of the way he plays. I'm a person that says if you have a good player, you adjust around a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Some coaches don't like doing that. They want to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And this was their chance.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it today. We'll talk about a lot of topics. I may even get to that that marriage topic that I talked about on Tuesday. Where it is my assertion in many years of studying this, I do believe that if men could get away with not actually going through the formal ceremony of marriage, that they would not.
So now it's just the formal formal ceremony?
I don't think it's up to man to get married.
Even though it's mostly men that propose?
Yes.
Who decide to take the plunge and ask the woman?
Yes, but they realize they don't have any other choice. But if you ask them honestly whether they would actually just coexist with somebody or actually get married to them, it's the woman, I believe, who makes the decision on the marriage. It's the man who makes the decision on the engagement.
Well,
like a man could be engaged forever. I could be wrong. Well, this is why we have this show, for honesty.
So maybe two
Twitter
polls.
Like a man likes to lock in the woman. But I'm not necessarily, I don't think the man desires the married part of it.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong.
I'm not
this
a man.
Is like, this is me looking on the outside looking in for many years.
Right.
On relationships and decisions to get married.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see how this goes.
Okay. Now, we'll do that later in the day. And I got all kinds of stuff I want to pull out of my hat today. So here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2 o'clock hour. Mike Fisnelli Show. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Pension HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson counter location on North 7th Street, Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's get to the Twitter poll and open it up today. And the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer & Sons Online Parts Warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. We are doing two polls today. First one, if the Eagles don't make another move defensively before the draft, will you be satisfied? Early votes, 38% say yes, 62% say no. And then poll number two, do men want to get married? 69% say yes, 31% say no.
69% say yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lie. It's a lie. People don't know what.
These are early numbers. Early numbers on the polls.
This is a good anonymous show because people can, like, you can give me a fake name and tell me the truth. I got a theory behind it. It's not that you dislike your mate. It's just you dislike the married part of the mate.
Well, I think maybe men like marriage? Getting married is fine. The marriage is a whole nother story, I think, in my opinion, as a woman.
Meaning what?
Meaning that it's all fun and games, you know,
early on,
and then, uh-huh. But like marriage is actually really hard.
It's tremendously hard.
Yeah, so I think
people get exhausted by it.
Yeah, it's emotionally draining for most people. So I think that men generally want to get married.
I don't think they do.
But the marriage is hard.
I don't think men really want to get married. I think men, not forced, but they realize they have no other option.
Well, women are kind of forced, too.
No, women want to get married. Women are all about that family type of atmosphere. Men are more reluctant because men are reluctant for that level of commitment. Women don't have a problem with commitment like men do. So men go along with the program, and they feel they have no other alternative, but because that's what everybody does.
Well,
so that's what they do.
But it's kind of the same for women too, because society tells us that you grow up, you go to college, you get a job, mm-hmm. then you get married and have a family, which is why it's difficult for women, especially in 2020, because there's all these societal pressures on us to not only have a great career, but then you're supposed to get married, settle down, and have kids within this time frame. And if you don't do it by the time you're 35, then, you know.
But it's women different. Own the birthing right.
Yeah, so within a certain time frame.
That influences their commitment level.
Well, yeah, you don't want to.
More than a man.
I believe, you know, unless there's some sort of like solid agreement, a woman wouldn't want to have a child without knowing that the partner is going to be involved.
The partner's going to be involved.
Well,
I'm not saying the partner's not going to be involved. What I'm saying is that men are more scared to commit to that level, and they just go, what's my alternative?
As the only married person on the show, I'll let y'all cook for a while. I will say that Mike is partially correct in that, like I was... Once I got engaged, I wanted to get married the next day. Once I'm in, I'm in. But I did wait 5 years
getting engaged. A man could be engaged forever.
See, no, that's where I'm different. Once I got engaged,
the majority of
the marriage came quick. It was the key thing was paying for the ring. This is the thing in the modern era that's tough for me.
Uh-huh.
Everything's expensive. So if you're going to give a woman a ring, I wanted to be able to buy the ring outright. I didn't want to have to be paying payments.
Outright?
I wanted to just be able to pay for it. That requires saving. But while you're dating, you still got to pay for dates. You guys might be living together at that point, depending on the relationship and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I see where you're coming from. So you wanted it to be a shared financial thing right away instead of you emptying your bank and courting your woman.
No. You're doing all the courting and stuff. But if you're doing the courting, you also have to save for a diamond. Those aren't cheap. Yeah. So you have to do that while you're courting, which takes longer. It took me longer. Like, let's say my wife was like, I don't care about, like, and I believed her. Not if, because she said a lot of things. But let's say I believed her that rings didn't matter at all. And she wouldn't have to show the ring. You know, when people get engaged, they want to look at the ring. Let's say all of that was removed from society. I would have proposed 3 years sooner. 3 years sooner. It took a long time to save the money to buy a respectable enough ring for my own ego. So that when she showed it to people, I was comfortable. And then by then the wedding, the hall, we got married 15 months later. Because, you know, some of that was just availability of places and stuff like that. So it didn't take long to get married. But men do take longer. Like, I think my wife would have been into getting engaged and getting married far sooner than I. So that part, I think, is absolutely true. I think it just is.
Okay. We'll talk about it later. Let's go to the phones. Greg and Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. I enjoyed the conversation there. Tyrone always has an interesting perspective, and I sort of agree. But anyway, as far as the Slay acquisition, you know, I'm not sure why they weren't in on the guy earlier that went elsewhere. That went for similar money, but maybe they like this guy better. And, you know, when was the last time the Eagles had a shutdown corner? I mean, I don't know, Troy Vincent, Eric Allen, Herm Edwards. I don't know if I remember Herm Edwards, but I think he was a shutdown corner.
Herm Edwards.
Yeah, Herm Edwards. Back when.
Yeah. I don't even remember whether he was a shutdown corner or not.
Well, I mean, that was his reputation. I don't know. I don't remember, too much about it, the way he played. But, if you have somebody that's a shutdown corner, I mean, it just changes your whole defense.
If he still is a shutdown corner. Now, the people that don't like it are saying, well, he's 29. Is he still a shutdown corner? The other guy was younger. He had more of a ceiling. So if you're going to pay this guy more than the Dolphins actually paid Jones, well, then, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I don't know if they got cold feet after the other thing went south and they decided, well, we got to get somebody. I hope that's not the case. It could be. That they didn't want to get left at the altar, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm
okay with it. I'm just letting you know that there are people that cover the team that are analyzing this in a negative way.
Right.
So, if the Eagles really wanted Jones and they got scared away from the price, you could reason that this was a panic move and they went out and got a guy who's not, doesn't have a high ceiling as Jones for more money. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know that whether to have confidence in my organization that they identified a guy or look at them like they're desperate.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they weren't ready to pull the trigger at the time of the other guy, and then they realized, well, you know, that's what the market is, so I guess we got to do it.
Yeah, but that's not good. See, that's not good management.
Well, I agree. I agree.
If you misread the market, then you're not doing your job.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't think they're scouting department and Howie necessarily are at the top of the list.
Well, that's not good. You know, that's not good. If that's your conclusion, that they're not at the top of the list, then how do you believe that what they did here is the proper thing to do? This is what we're struggling with, because there's two ways to look at this. One is, all right, they saw their guys, just like picking a guy in the NBA draft. You identified Markelle Fultz as your guy. You stick to your guns. You do all the research. He's my guy. I don't care what people say. He fits. The other side of it is, well, wait a minute. I really wanted Jones. We said at the time the price was too high. So now we're losing all these corners, going here, going here, going there. And there's one guy out there we can make a trade for. So now we have to overpay. We have to make the trade. I don't know. There's one or the other. You can't find any middle ground here. It's definitely one or the other.
Yeah, but I disagree. The money thing is not true, what you're saying about the money. Jones got $57 million in guarantees. Slay got $30 million in guarantees. Jones, that's significant to me. That's a lot more guaranteed money to Byron Jones than Slay
well,
got.
Well, but here's the balancing act. Would the Eagles have been better off going up to $17 million, $17.5 million for Jones, a younger player who's going to pay off on the back end, or pay Slay $60.7 million for the foreseeable future while they give away two picks?
Both of the contracts end at age 32, so I don't know if it will pay off in the back end the way you're suggesting. Both contracts end when they're both guys are age 32. Slay got a shorter contract because he's an older player. So I think that if you like the player better, and apparently the Eagles did.
They did? Do we know that?
Apparently they weren't willing to go up. I believe they liked, they wanted him at the trade deadline last year, and then they went and got him. I think the Eagles liked him more. Now, they might be wrong about it, but I think the Eagles decided, I like this guy more.
Would they have signed Jones for less money?
For less money?
Yeah. If the price wasn't so high, would they have ended up with Jones?
Maybe. They may end up with both.
Well, then who was their main priority? Did they dabble in the Jones market before they made the trade for Slay? Well, that would give you an indication of something, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily, because at the time, maybe the Lions weren't willing to make a deal. In fact, the Lions were still saying they wanted a second-round pick earlier this week. Perhaps they called about Slay. The Lions said no again. They get in on Jones, and then once those other guys, maybe that calls the Lions to be willing to make the deal.
So then they got lucky. The Eagles.
That's possible.
Okay, they got lucky. So either way you strike it, was it savvy front office work or was it luck?
It could have been luck, because I think the Lions got squeezed. Because I think the Lions thought, hey, I got this Slay guy. And then Miami goes and makes a signing. And then Trufant goes. Now all of a sudden, how many people are willing to trade for Slay? And I think their price came down. Because they were very strong on second round pick. Mm-hmm. And then they take a third and a fifth.
All right, let's hit Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Mike, there's nothing I do not like about this trade here. I'm glad that we got Slay and got that guy from the Cowboys. I told you I don't like that anyway. I believe in Howie after what he did to get Carson Wentz. I've been a believer ever since.
Hold a second. You've been a believer ever since? What has he done since Carson Wentz that made you a believer?
What he did to get Carson Wentz.
I get it. You struck one chord, and the other was, everything else was a sour note. Where does your belief waver? Yeah, I understand what he did for Wentz. Good. Wentz still hasn't, reached the heights that everybody thought he was going to reach. But he hasn't done really much good of anything since then. So when does it run out? When does your goodwill run out? Are you blindly thinking that Howie is the shizzle?
Yeah, man. Like I said, I believe, I kind of figured that Black he was going to do something, but everybody was just so damn impatient.
Let me ask you a question. What else has impressed you except the Wentz thing with Howie Roseman?
There's some other things, Mike, but I just can't think about them right now.
I believe in Howie. I mean, to be honest, he really He's at a low ebb right now, Howie. His draft picks have not been that good. Yeah, he engineered a trade to get a franchise quarterback. Okay, that counts a lot. But, you know, he hasn't really dazzled.
Well, I mean, he did some things in 2017 to get the Super Bowl.
All right.
Bringing Jay Ajayi in, that helped.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Hey, listen, it's up to you. Most people right now, I don't know, would be on that side of the Howie issue, would they?
No, and the one thing, and this may change this coming year, the one big issue for them is he has not drafted Pro Bowlers in quite a while. Now, maybe Goddard becomes a Pro Bowler. Maybe Sanders becomes a Pro Bowler. Maybe some other guys, maybe Dillard emerges, something like that. But he has not drafted a Pro Bowler since Wentz. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he needs to draft. Now, maybe he got one last year. This year's draft, they don't have to make it as a rookie, but he has to get some Pro Bowl quality players. That seems to be a measuring stick between the teams that win and don't.
So, I can't complain about what he's done for 1 year.
Right.
The other guy is younger. Maybe he's better than Slay. Certainly has a bigger ceiling than Slay at his age.
I disagree with that.
All right.
Because I think this guy creates turnovers. The other guy does not.
The other guy's 26.
27. And he'll be 28 in September. The age difference is not this 25 years. It's
John Delaware, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy?
What's up, John?
I just want to say I'm a big fan. First-time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I just want to say I actually like the Slay pickup, man. I really do. I know people are kind of getting on it, think we waited too long. But, man, if you look at how the Cowboys have played against Detroit, and we all know how Slay plays, right? He plays right up on their best receiver every time. Uh-huh. That's been Amari Cooper twice. Look at the stats, man. It's like 23 yards per game, no touchdowns. I think it really came down to them seeing them sign Amari Cooper for a 5-year, $100 million. Let's go get our guy who can shut him down for the next 3 years, right?
I hope so. For 3 years?
Hey, right? We got him for 30, what is it, $30 million?
This is what I worry about. I don't know how many corners, 31, 32, are still shutting down people.
I know it. But we got to have some hope, right? The Howie knows our guy, right? He's done it before, right?
I don't know what to feel right now about the Howie front office. I don't know if they...
Hey, we're Philly guys, right? We got to hope, right? We got to have that thing in us.
Nah, I don't do that. I don't do the hope.
But look, but question, though. I do have a question for you, though.
Yes.
The big rumor that I've been hearing going on, that Julio Jones might be getting moved, and that we have been talking to them. I've been hearing something about Ertz and some picks. What do you think?
Where are you hearing this?
I just, we got our guys going on our road to victory. We have our group, but we hear a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
We fast forward things, and that's what we're hearing. We're hearing a lot about it. I don't know if you heard anything at all, but I haven't heard
anything about that at all.
Is there
whispers that are out there about the Julio Jones?
Slight.
Well, and I think about it.
What do you think about it?
Well,
give me a little hypothetical.
Yeah, I'd like it. I don't know. I would like to have Julio Jones. I couldn't all turn right, that down. All right,
well, Mike, man, it's been good.
Maybe they got something
there
up their sleeve. You know, Savvy Howie. I don't know. I mean, at this point, like hoping. I guess. They leave you in that position where you have to hope that they're doing the right thing. And the only way you're going to find out is you have to witness it. So they're better off than they were yesterday.
Yeah, I even decline. Since 2017, he has the third lowest completion rate against him in the league. Hembo will be on with some stats. I'm looking forward to 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we got Hembo coming on at 3 o'clock, some stats about Slay. And he's got some positive stats about Slay, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I did not want to.
Okay.
Yes, he is digging in some other things. He may have something on the Flyers, just what was their true odds now since we think that season's over.
So Hembo's got some stuff for us today.
And maybe
And
maybe even some stuff on MLB shortened season, because you mentioned that. He's going to dig in. We'll see what he has. He's going to have all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
A grab bag from Hembo.
Sounds good. Now, the one thing that's still out there as a whisper is that the Eagles are interested in defensive end Yannick Ngakoue from Jacksonville, but Mike Garofalo is not hearing that there's much steam to that at this point.
Aside from, yeah, I mean, it's just his cryptic Instagram posts.
Now, apparently in the past he had posted Lawrence Taylor. Today he decides to post Reggie White. I think it's clear because they franchise tagged him. He's not going to sign that tender because why would you sign it now?
Yeah.
He does not want to be there anymore. But no team, apparently, the Packers or the Eagles, have come close to whatever Jacksonville may be asking right now. Now, maybe later on down the line, they change their mind. But they're clearly in rebuild mode. They have a million picks. They have two first-rounders next year. They're probably looking for another one. The question is, if you're the Eagles, is this wide receiver class deep enough to where they would give up a one and then get your wide receiver in the second round? That's what probably the question would be, because Jacksonville apparently wants a first-rounder. Like, we can't kid ourselves and say, oh, they'll take a two. And no. Is this wide receiver class deep enough to where the Eagles can get a number one receiver in the second round and trade a one for him? That's probably going to be the question. I personally do not want the Eagles to part with their first round pick. Personally. But they may have different ideas down the road.
Also today, our NBC Sports Philly personalities come alive. Series.
Yep, day two.
Frampton comes alive.
Yes,
NBC
like
Sports Philly personalities come alive on this show. And today, well, yesterday with Amy Fadul, today, Colby Cohen. Now, let's just give you a little backdrop on Colby. Because you see Colby over there every now and then.
I do.
And he always wonders about the hockey exclusion.
Well,
Sports Talk Radio.
That didn't bother him. He wanted to know about your credentials as a hockey man initially. Because remember, he's not from here.
Where's he from?
I think he's from, I don't think he's from here. I think he was from the Boston area. I know he played up in Boston.
I think he's from here.
Oh, he might be back.
I think he's like from Radnor.
Right, but I'm saying he's younger. He doesn't remember you as a hockey writer.
Well, he better do some research.
He did.
Before he comes on here.
The beef has been squashed.
Oh, it has?
Yes, but he just wants to come on and talk.
All right.
He enjoys the show.
Oh, he does?
Yes, but he was wondering at first.
Oh, yeah.
At first, you got to remember, he plays in the NHL.
Uh-huh.
He comes back to Philly. That's the correction. He comes back to the Philly area, right?
Yep.
He hears you talking hockey. He goes, and he doesn't just do it to you. Apparently, Colby listens to different mediums.
Yeah.
And he always questions, does this guy know what he's talking about or not? Not just to you. To everybody.
Does he question whether we know anything about baseball or basketball or football?
Not worried about that. Hockey's his game.
This is what we do for a living.
Well.
You know? Our job is to know about stuff.
And then I was like, he covered the team, blah, blah. He goes,
he's from Villanova.
All right.
Yeah.
He came back to the area.
He's a Delco kid.
Right, but he's a young guy. He doesn't remember you writing about the Flyers.
No,
how would he know that? Before he was born, probably.
I mean, I feel like it's...
He doesn't know the breadth of my hockey knowledge.
Right. So that's really was the whole key.
I do think it's general Philadelphia sports knowledge that that Mike Mussinelli covered the Flyers. Is it not?
Not everybody.
No, nobody knows it.
Nobody knows
that I was a sports anchor on television, and that happened in, like, 2001.
Oh, maybe it's just because I've never left this city that I know that.
Yeah.
And you've always been in the sports. There's a lot of people that don't know. And they'll ask me, like, you covered the team.
Don't know my history.
Right. They just know you've been. Some people only know about you here the last 10 years.
Right.
As if it started with, like, you started the day the Fanatic started.
Yeah.
And the day before you were somewhere else.
He's a sports radio pioneer, for the love of God.
I was on the Penn State class this morning.
Oh, how'd it go?
With a friend of mine is a professor up there.
Yeah.
I was, they're doing all their classes on remote. So he sent out my Wikipedia page, which is very scarce and doesn't have anything about what I've done in this business, except for he was in a storied confrontation with David Akers on the radio where he called, said, David, you're sounding like a little girl. Like,
well, you know you can edit that.
So, I don't care. I mean, but anyway, he said that to the students. I go, man, come on, man. All that is like they bury me for a couple instances. So they don't have the depth of my experience.
Do you have, where is your bio? Do you have a bio up anywhere?
No.
Well, maybe that's why.
I send a bio out to people when I'm speaking to someone.
Yeah.
And I have a bio on what I've done. But nobody knows that.
Well, just paste it on the Wikipedia.
I covered the Flyers as a journalist, or hockey as a journalist. Nobody knows that. But anyway, Colby Cohen went to Radnor High.
There you go. So played in the NHL, and now he's ready to talk sports. and just talk about the show because he's, you know, wants to talk about the experience. And he's quarantining himself. Wait, he's not like a hard-headed guy.
Radnor High, raised around here, you got to have a little more Mikey Miss knowledge, don't you think?
It could be a violation. Yeah, yeah, no, it could be a total violation. All right.
Yeah, look, Radnor High, we grew up in Villanova, for crying out loud.
I think he... I don't know. Well, you know what? He'll be on at 4 o'clock. You ask him. I don't have to defend Kobe. I like the guy.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 247, a Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. What is it? I'm just looking at Twitter, and did you start this, Tyrone, your 5 jobs, or was this Booney that started that?
No, it started. We were like 25th. I saw it then. Booney did it, then I did it, but apparently it's a big thread that started like hundreds of people ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, that's just been going and going.
The 5 jobs that you've had?
Any five jobs you've had in your life.
Having to do with what you're doing now?
Yeah, generally it's what you're not, 5 jobs other than what you're doing now.
Okay, and what were your jobs?
I have them.
Yeah, what were my 5?
Because I quote tweeted and did mine. Yours is parking lot attendant, luggage warehouse sorter.
Yeah.
Book warehouse custodian.
Mm-hmm.
Car part picker and art warehouse worker. Yeah, and he quotes it was your worst job ever.
That was my worst job.
What do you mean? What was wrong with that job?
So what I found out was, you'd have the forklifts around the building, right? Mm-hmm. And they're loading up pallets. And then they would drop the pallet down, and I would have to get these individual orders. I didn't realize there was like 117 different kind of watercolor brushes.
Mm-hmm.
So they give me this little sheet, and they look exactly the same. But you have to get this art, and I'm on the ground under this thing. It's dirty, and I'm just picking through different brushes and stuff. I hated that job. And the clock would just go off. The horn would go off for your 15-minute break, and you'd have to go to this break room, and you just sit there, and everybody's miserable. And then you're going back and...
That was a factory job.
Yeah, a lot of those were factory jobs.
Yeah, I had 5 of them.
What did you do?
For the most part, you had stressless, non-sweating jobs.
That's not true.
Parking lot attendant.
If it's hot, if it's raining, if it's snowing, you're just out there.
What did you have to do?
You had to take the money.
No, weren't you at BB&T too?
Yeah, I was at BB&T. I was doing that.
What is that?
You're in the elements.
You're working your butt off doing that job.
Oh, yeah, cleaning the book warehouse. I was cleaning the book warehouse. And then there was all the security. Because remember when the Princess Diana book came out? It was a really big deal at the time. That's what I was doing. It was a huge deal.
You had one factory job where you had to sweat.
No.
What were the other jobs?
American Honda. You're picking the car parts. It's 150 air. I'm picking mufflers and stuff and loading onto carts to be loaded onto the trucks to go out for orders.
It was outdoor work.
That was in a factory. It was hot because it was a factory in the summertime.
What were your factory jobs, Mike?
My first job was a busboy at a steakhouse, and the waitresses lied to me and kept my tips away. They were supposed to give me a percentage of their tips.
Yeah, they're supposed
to give me anything until somebody confided in me. You know, you're getting gypped. Their tips. They're supposed to be giving you tips.
Busser's on my list as well.
Well, that's the only job I had that wasn't factory. And that was like when I was 16.
Did you work at
I worked in
a refrigerator factory?
4 different factories.
Right. Wow.
4 different factories. Dirty work. I'm talking about assembly line, dirty ass work. Assembling commercial refrigerator parts,
mm-hmm.
doors and stuff. Squirting in insulation with a mask.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Here it is.
I guess you went to school.
Here it is.
Uphill in the snow both ways.
Yeah, I was raising cushy jerseys. I get a parking lot attendant job. The old man sent me out. A lot of factories where I lived.
Wait, that's not a cushy job.
Factory, get a job.
assembly line light parts.
Here it is, Mike.
I cut my thumb. Never mind. Don't stop the line. Get him a bandage.
Yeah.
Bandage. Come on, man.
There was this guy named Juan Streeter that was a boss. Another guy named Sinclair. I hope Sinclair's watching because I never liked Sinclair. And I still don't like Sinclair. He was the boss. One time, one of those carts, because of the mufflers, I can show the scar in the back of my calf. Cut me all up, right? He's trying to have a meeting right now. One of them stupid meetings during our 15-minute break. Don't bother me during our 15-minute break with your dumb meeting, Sinclair. I'm bleeding, and he yelled at me because I went to get a bandage in the middle of him talking. He's got the self-important jerk.
I actually was a janitor for a summer at a school for mentally challenged. But they weren't there. It was a summer.
Oh, yeah.
So I had the keys to all the units.
Oh, look at you. Boy. You had the big ring of keys?
The big ring of keys. Yeah. So I'd have to go and clean all the cottages that they... And so I would go in and I'd nap. And so I'd like... I go behind the sofa, take a nap. And so I hear the door open. I go, oh, no. And I can't go anywhere, so I'm just hiding behind the sofa. And it's the executive director of the place, and he's showing some investors.
Yeah. The place, like...
I go, please don't come this way. I had nowhere to go. I was just laying down. No. Oh. They didn't come that way.
Oh, that's
the biggest escape of my life.
I had a story. So I cleaned up real fast one time at the book factory, and I used the thing, one of those things that you pump up, like the pallet jack that you pump up to get up high and take a nap. On the second shelf, because I thought nobody would see me. But then that's right when they hired security for the Princess Diana book. I ended up having to jump down and run because they were afraid that people were going to steal the book. So they had hired security all over the place. All of a sudden, because you can steal any other book, but not the Princess Diana book.
I loved
by
my
the
jobs.
Way. Still
what
got
you doing that?
Still got those books.
I was a pizza counter girl, and I was great.
Was it hot?
I loved it. It was hot, and I burned my wrists a lot. Yeah. And then I served ice cream, which was the best job ever, every single summer. And then I was a nursing home waitress, which was also a great job. I loved that job. And then I was a busser, and then I got into radio at 19.
Chick shops. Yeah, chick shops.
That, well, what else was I going to be doing?
You could work in the factory.
I was 14. I worked with
women in those factories. There was always some good women in those factories. They were the backbone.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
Parking lot attendant. Like you built pyramids.
Parking lot attendant. You're on the hot ass fall. It's summertime concert.
That'll be $10. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. I'm not in the booth. I'm in the elements. Rain, sleet, snow, you name it.
I can make a mean banana split.
Yeah, like you're carrying cinder blocks up a mountain.
That was a tough job.
All right, let's go into the 3 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in on the Mike Pesetta Show. Hembo will join us in 5 minutes with some statistics on Darius Slay and other things that I have no knowledge about. It's a big mystery. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.